I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is going on, sucky daters? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. A very, very special episode for you guys this week. I know I say that every week, but this week I actually mean it. Because just like old times, Jared is gone. And since I obviously cannot handle this show all by myself, we brought in the big guns. And Sydney Lutuaco, our favorite guest co-host, is joining us live from, I'm assuming, Ohio?
Yeah, we are still in Ohio. We're still going strong in Ohio.
Live from Ohio. So if you guys haven't listened to Sydney's last episode, turn this one off, put that one on. Because we checked in with Sydney and she was telling us all about how her and her boyfriend started living together, right?
Yes, in quarantine. Mm-hmm.
So Sydney, fill us in on what's going on over there, because last time we talked to you, it was like height of the pandemic, height of quarantine. You were like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. And things were going well. Where are you guys at right now?
We are good. I moved in with him as of August of last year. So it's been a while that we've lived together. So it's officially like going smoothly. What's funny is I think we met officially a year ago in March. Technically, we didn't meet in person until 3 months later, but we had started talking in March. So it's almost been a year, technically, if you can count that. So yeah, it's going well. We are through like the dating phase. Now we're officially living together and going through that dynamic. But it's been fun. I feel very adult and mature in my relationship, which is nice. It's been a good refresh. Yeah.
So March is the 1 year anniversary.
We started talking at the start of the pandemic. So if you count that, yes. But we met in person, I think, in May. So May, I guess, would be a year. I put it on Instagram in June, so we can count that date. I put it on Instagram when it was official.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Well, do you think you're going to have multiple celebrations of like the first day you guys started talking, the first day you posted about him on Instagram, the first day you guys met in person, the first time you guys kissed? Like, what's the actual anniversary?
I know. I'm always down for a celebration, but the only date I can specifically remember is the one from Instagram, because I can scroll back through my feed and figure it out. So that might be like our celebration day. But it's funny because some people are like, I'll wait a long time to show my relationship, especially if you've been on The Bachelor or some type of dating show. People like to wait to show off their relationship just in case, because it's kind of hard to deal with the fan base and just people having opinions about your relationship. But I kind of, you know, just went with it and embraced it. And I was excited to share him with the world, even though it was pretty new, and it's been going well.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than people speculating about a relationship, especially when that relationship is on the rocks. But it sounds like you kind of handled it well. So how are you guys doing since then, since last time we talked then? Because like I said, we had talked to you guys, you were living together in Ohio, which you had never lived in Ohio before.
I had never been to Ohio before.
That's right. And you guys had like just moved in. And if I remember correctly, you were like just going to go on like vacation with his parents or something like that to like a lake. I can't. Am I recalling that correctly?
You're calling like really key details, but a little mixed up, but I'm very impressed actually. So we've had holidays together. I've spent I was just with his family on Easter. He's met my parents. We did Thanksgiving together. We already were splitting holidays, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, it's been going well. It's funny with relationships. I feel like you go through like the honeymoon phase and everything's like fun and happy. And we definitely have had that. I mean, it's not saying that's over or anything, but once you like move in and things start getting a little more serious, then you start to learn like each other's tics and, you know, how you mesh in a living situation, which always is super fun because it kind of brings out like, oh, what do I need to work on? What do I want him to work on? And like how we work together as a couple. So that's been a fun dynamic that we've been going through, but it's all been really good.
Well, let's talk about that. You brought it up. What are some tics that you've learned about him, or maybe vice versa? What tics has he learned about you that obviously no deal breakers or anything like that, but like what has been like maybe a big hurdle?
Yeah, I think it's a fun time too, because I love growth and in general and just getting to know someone deeper and then figuring out how you can be better for them, how they can be better for you. So yeah, I feel like tics, he's learned that I'm not the most organized person in the world. So we're working through that. I would say he's actually the clean one, which I guess is not what you'd normally think of with a male-female relationship, but he's definitely the clean one. So I'm working to be more organized. For example, I tend to leave stuff around, and we have a dog that we now share together. I mean, he had him first, but now the dog is like my child. So I try not to kill her on a regular basis because she will get into anything. She's an English bulldog. And just last week I had my backpack on the floor and she managed to find a random, like, it was like a power bar thing in my backpack in a Ziploc bag. And within 4 seconds, she was in the room, chewed through the Ziploc bag, had eaten it, and was like living her best life. And in 4 seconds. So I was like, great. I think I might've just murdered our dog. Because all of the ingredients in it were like very toxic to dogs. Very bad for dogs. Had a little panic attack, but you know, she's fine. She's a trooper. I mean, before I've been in the other room and she's licked, like, you know, spackle where you put on like a hole in the wall. She's licked through that.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Yeah, she gets into some stuff and keeps me on my toes, but it's forcing me to be more organized, which is probably a good thing for my growth.
And for the record, the English bulldog, that's like the big, big bulldog, right?
Thick. She's a thick girl. She's like 70 pounds. She's pretty thick.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So she can handle a lot, but sometimes I'm like, did I murder our dog today? But so far we're doing okay.
What kind of ticks does Nick think? Or I'm sorry. What kind of ticks do you have against Nick?
I think it's just interesting for me because I brought everything here. Like this was his home. This was his like routine. So it's kind of bringing a new person into that. So it's just him adjusting to like having someone else in his life, which has been fun. So just kind of learning like, okay, I wake up at this time. He likes to wake up at this time and just like figuring that out. And then sometimes he likes personal space and I never like personal space. I like to be on top of him at all times. So it's just like the fun little balance between those things, but nothing like negative. I think, like I said earlier, it's all growth and it makes for everyone to be better people at the end of the day. As long as
there's nothing like he chooses his mouth open or leaves the toilet seat up. Come on, there's got to be some little thing.
That's the thing. I feel like if you think of like male, female, I'm that person. Like I'll leave something out. Like I'll not take out the trash. Like I'm the male version in this situation. So it's me not doing those things. Like he'll always put the seat down and like, we'll remember to put toilet paper back. So I'm like, oh, you're making me look bad, man. Yeah.
It sounds a lot like mine and Kaylin's relationship, but you and I are the same, and then Kaylin and Nick are the clean and organized ones.
Exactly. So how does Kaylin deal with that little dynamic?
Oh, she deals with it very patiently, I guess I could say.
Yeah, you have to have patience with us.
yeah with us, exactly. But you know what we lack in like cleanliness or order, we make up for another thing. So I think it kind of has it.
Yeah,
all,
I feel like usually the creative types tend to be a little bit disorganized, but we are all here for the greater good. I don't know.
I'll gladly loop myself into the creative types, even though I don't know if that's necessarily true or not.
I think you are.
So okay, thanks. So you guys live together now, and it's like official. Like it's not just like a quarantine thing anymore. Like you guys are fully living together, right?
Yeah, it's not out of like force anymore because of our situations. We're of choice now, which has been great. Yeah. So
you're thriving in Ohio.
I'm trying to. I think the thing I'm trying to work on now that we're like, we're good, like things in the relationship are going well, like we're moving along at a great pace that we both like. I'm trying to now figure out like my own life here, if that makes sense. Like I've always been of the camp of like having a relationship, having that together, but also having like my own life and things that I like to do and things like having a community around me here, because this is a new state for me. Like I don't have friends here from before, so it's kind of like making those new friends. I've started teaching here and doing things that I would do in like LA where I used to live, or New York before. So just having a similar community of people like I can go to, and like so I have like my own thing, so I'm not relying on him for everything, I think is important. So that's what I've been working on lately.
It's tricky, especially moving somewhere new, because like Kaylin's only been in LA for a little bit, and I've been like, similar to Nick being in Ohio, I've been in LA for a much longer time, so I've got like my friends, my interests, my, you know, all my like routines and all those things. And yeah, I can only imagine how tricky it has to be to move somewhere else and like kind of like start life anew, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like during a pandemic, so now things are opening. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to put myself out there, make some friends. I think it's important because then I can feel like fulfilled and good in myself. And then when I come to him, like we're both good, instead of like me being like, I need you for everything, if that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah. So how has the friend making been going? Has it been easy out there?
I feel like it's harder later in life to make friends quickly, just
Absolutely.
Because like everyone's kind of in their own routines, or, you know, especially in a place like Ohio where everyone's kind of grown up together and has had similar backgrounds in that way. But I mean, I get along really well with his sister-in-law, so her and I are like besties. And then from there, I'm like branching out. So I think the easiest way for me to build relationships is by doing things with people that like the same things as me. So for me, that's teaching, mm-hmm. like doing fitness. And a lot of people that teach are dancers. So just people that I know has similar backgrounds has been the best way for me to do that. So it's going
I feel well. Like it's way harder for girls. I feel like it's harder for girls to make friends as an adult as well. Do you agree or disagree?
I feel like it can be hard either way, but yeah, if you have like a girl group that's like strong and they've been together since high school and they're like ride or die, it's really hard for the new girl to come into that, but I'm trying.
Well, so the reason I say that is because in my experience, I like some of my really good guy friends I've met, you know, 25 and older, and even in the past like year or two. And I think guys mm-hmm. are just so simple. We're like, oh, you like to skydive? I like to skydive. Sick. Let's be best friends and skydive all the yeah. time together. Like, and girls, yeah. I don't know. I think there's like a little bit more of like a, like an there's interview process. That's
yeah.
required.
There's definitely a process of like, do we want to let her in? Could we borrow clothes from her? Could we hang out with her and have drinks? Could we tell her our secrets? So like, there's a lot of like a review process that a woman's going to go through, which I think isn't more intense, but I think that lends to a stronger relationship once you make it through that filter, if that makes sense.
Right. Rather than like the superficial surface level of friendships that guys have where they're just
yeah,
like
just jumping off buildings and stuff.
Right.
Grabbing
right,
beers.
Right.
Yeah.
So now that you and Nick are fully moved in together, what's next, do you think?
I know that now as everyone's like, okay, when are you getting engaged and when are you doing this?
Right.
I think people always ask that question, and we have been open with those conversations. Like, I don't think I would have openly just jumped into moving in so quickly and changing my life. And I mean, there was circumstances that led to that, but I think because I knew like we were solid and that we had talked about potentially being serious in the future and like engagements and things like that, like we've had those discussions. So I think eventually that's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of like when. And but as far as like where we're at now, we're at a good spot.
I mean, that's pretty big news, right?
Yeah.
I feel like last time we talked on this podcast too, you were kind of saying the same thing where it's like it's kind of expected at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's like an age thing or it's just like I wanted to go into something that I knew could end up being serious. But we both have been, it's been easy to talk about. I feel like sometimes with girls are like wanting to know that and don't ask or are afraid to ask, but we kind of talked about that from the very beginning, if that made sense. So there was never any like, oh my god, what could we get married? I mean, I spend all my time with his like family, and like his brother right. is married, and she has this like adorable child that we hang out with all the time, so we see like the family life and like down the road what could be happening, and it's not scary to either of us. So
you bring up an interesting yeah. point that I think would be good for the listeners to kind of dive in on a little bit. Mm-hmm. You said something along the lines of sometimes girls are scared to like ask those questions, right? So
yeah.
what kind of advice would you have for someone that maybe is in a similar-ish situation, maybe like a less stable one than you, but like someone that wants to ask the question but is fearful of it, you know, like what kind of advice would you
yeah.
have for that person?
I know, I feel like I get this question a lot, like when either if it's like someone trying to figure out if we're not dating other people or someone trying to figure out if this is like going to be something serious down the road. I'm just always mm-hmm. of the camp of just having the conversation because I like to know versus just like waiting around and wondering and getting deeper into my feelings with someone or getting more invested and they're not actually there. I would just rather know. And that's kind of like ripping off the bandaid and having a really hard conversation. But I think like when you have those conversations directly towards the beginning, the easier it is for you because you're not going to be invested, your feelings won't be as hurt as they would be like down the road when you find out oh mm-hmm. they're still seeing other people or they're not wanting to have like marriage and family and all that stuff. So I like to have those conversations right. earlier on, but that's me.
It's kind of like the ultimate form of procrastination where you're setting yourself up for failure
exactly.
the longer you wait to ask the question.
Yeah, because if someone's not in it for the long haul, I don't think that you can necessarily change that. And they're going to pretty much know that from the jump, I would feel like, depending on how you get into the relationship.
Isn't Nick younger than you?
He's a month younger than me, so let's not rub it in.
I thought for some reason he was like 5 years younger than you, but a month is no big deal.
That would
at
be
all.
Wild. Yeah, no. I'm an old soul, but not that much.
right. So, yeah. Okay, gotcha. So there's talks of it, but you're in no rush, but hoping for a marriage, kids, a white picket fence down the line.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been in the back of my mind. But yeah, I think we're in a good place. I mean, we've known each other for a year and they're still pretty solid. I think if marriage and all that comes into play, it's going to be like, I need to talk to my parents about that. And then he's of like the traditional route where he would want to ask my parents for permission and all that stuff. So those types of conversations would have to happen first, but we are in a good spot.
I feel like those Midwest born and bred boys too, like they kind of, they're on more of a traditional timeline too.
Yeah,
rather than like
exactly.
The coastal boys, the New York, California kids are all like, oh, I'm going to be single until I'm 40.
Yeah. And I mean, I've dated those guys and that's fine for them, but like, it's just something I knew I wanted and needed. And those were kind of my boundaries. And it led me to this person that was on the same page as me. So that's why I like to have the conversations kind of early, because I know that's what I'm looking for. I love like a cool girl and like someone that can like date around. That's great if you can handle that. I just know I can't handle that. So I was just very clear with that from the beginning.
Nice. I respect it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's shift gears a little tiny bit, because there was this Us Weekly article that I read recently where you shared that you felt the pressure of the entire Asian race filming The Bachelor. And I was wondering if you're up for it, would you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself just naturally as a person. And I'm pretty aware of my surroundings. So with me and what they were talking about with that article, it was just like, oh, because race has been such a talked about thing this, especially this past season and around the Bachelor franchise. And I think they've made like huge strides since I was on the show with casting and how they represent more diverse cast members as far as them showing them. And that's a different story. But for me personally, on my season, I was one of two Asian women. I'm half Asian, I'm half Filipino. So there was me and another girl, and she went home the first night, and I was like looking around and just not seeing anyone else really that looked like me. And I was like, oh, interesting. So does that mean I am now this girl for this season? Because if you think about it, they cast the season, like they know who they're putting on the show. So it's like, I have now a role to play, whether that is true or not. That's just what I put on myself. Just knowing that, I mean, looking around the room, I was like, okay, well, I'm now the only girl that's going to represent that. How do I want to show that? And for me, that was trying to do the best example of like what an Asian American woman is. And for me, that was just being like myself. And maybe that meant being a little more reserved with how I represented myself or how my conversations went on the show. I don't know for sure. There's a lot of factors that go into that, but I definitely had that in the back of my mind throughout my time on the show.
Was that something that you ever even considered before you were on either show? Or is it something that you didn't even realize was a thing until you were like thrust into the environment?
I mean, I'm always aware of it. Like, for example, I grew up as a dancer and I would go to auditions. And if I go to a casting, it's usually they're looking for an ethnic woman. I would go to a casting and there would be a room full of Asian women. It was just me and like 30 other Asian women. So like usually you're hired for a role. So I'm just kind of used to that life. So me going on the show, I know that like, oh, they needed another Asian girl. So I'm going to be that role. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I've just always been aware of it. And I knew this was like my one shot to represent what that is. So I tried to do my very best at showing like what I think is a good example of an Asian woman on the franchise, which can lend to a lot of pressure, but I tend to do that to myself.
I can only imagine how much pressure there has to be in that situation. As a white man, I like to obviously never have to deal with that. So I can, I can't even put myself in those shoes. But I guess question for you then, why do you think there is such a lack of diversity on the show? Because at the end of the day, there is no bad things from being more inclusive and showing more diversity, right? Like only good things can come from that. So why do you think there is such a lack of it?
I think it's like a fear of shifts and how that's going to affect the audience and how that's going to affect a paycheck at the end of the day, if you think about it. I mean, ratings and all of that are definitely something I'm sure the show takes into account. I think they even look at like who is getting the most followed from the show on Instagram, which is like, you think like not, doesn't matter. But I think you're very aware of that for who they're choosing to be the lead or like who they're choosing to bring back. I mean, I think all of that goes into account, which people don't always think about, but because they see, oh, the diverse members of the cast aren't getting the same following, they're not getting the same amount of recognition, maybe they're like, oh, well, we don't want to keep pushing them on our audience if they're not going to receive them. But that's just unfortunate, because if you think about like the younger girl at home who is a person of color and they're looking at the show and they love it, but they don't see themselves on the show falling in love or getting that end goal or the prize or whatever you want to call it at the end. They're like, oh, why can't I have that? Like, I don't see myself on TV falling in love. I don't see myself doing those things or succeeding on a show. So that's hard to think about, like you're affecting other people in that way, whether you realize it or not. It does have an effect.
Yeah. And I can imagine it's got to be a slippery slope for The Bachelor, for instance. Like, yeah, 20 years ago or whenever the show started, I'm sure they never intended to be so like exclusively, you know, for lack of a better term, white. But at the end of the day, like, if their audience is white and they respond more positively to the white contestants, then through the years, they're skewing more and more white. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But yeah, I can only imagine. It's got to be. It's weird for me because as like a white guy, I've never really had to deal with any of that stuff. So like even while I was on the show, like I didn't even notice it. We had like a more heavily black cast than normal, and there was like everyone was like, yeah, like we're super diverse, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I never really thought anything of it, and then it kind of like moved away from that. And especially like the Asian representation has always been, from my understanding, like one or two contestants per season tops. And then they have a couple people of color, and then there's like the traditional like core white contestants. And it's just like, there's, I don't know, it seems so flawed in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they cast them now, so they're like showing like, oh, we did it, we casted it. But now it's like, how it's important to represent that then. Like, I think there's an account called Bachelor Data, and it takes into like the numbers of like each person's screen time, and just like the skewed of like the white screen time was just like so high, which is like, that has a lot of factors. That also depends on like the relationship that's happening between the lead. So for my instance, like, I know I wasn't shown a lot because I didn't have a strong connection with the lead. So I can't necessarily blame that on anything besides that. But when you have like an extremely, diverse cast and it's still skewed, it's still, showing that's still a problem.
You can take it one step further and say, screw production for casting a lead that would never be interested in anyone other than a white girl. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's like, you can still kind of go up. And I think you can even go up the ranks and be like, okay, well, there's probably not much diversity in like the casting department. There's not much diversity in the, you know, the studio heads, like all that kind of stuff. So I think that diversity has to kind of start at the top and work its way down. Because if it's white people casting people of color and Asian Americans and all these people, it's like, okay, well, it's still a white person casting these people for a white person that probably only likes white people. So it's just like, there's a lot of flaws.
It runs really deep. And I think we're at the start of the changes, but I think because of that, it's going to take time to unravel all of the things in order for us to get there. But we're definitely at the beginning. Now I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it.
Yeah. Well, so they did go somewhere they went with Katie as one bachelor and then Michelle as another bachelorette. So, I mean, that's good to see there's more representation in the leads. What are your thoughts on either of them? Have you met either of them or ever talked to either of them or anything like that?
I've not met or talked to either of them. I think they're both awesome. I loved that they chose both of them. I loved Michelle. I love that she was like a teacher and just seems so down to earth and like can relate to kids and all the things. And I love Katie too. I thought she was hilarious, like with her dildo the whole season. I thought she was awesome. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be an interesting season. I always love a bachelorette season. It's interesting how they're doing like so much at once. There's going to be like a bachelorette season and then Paradise and then Michelle's. It's like a lot. But I'm excited. I'm also interested to see the dynamic between like Caitlin and Tayshia being the host of Katie's season.
Oh, yeah.
And how Bachelor Nation kind of takes that. Well, it'll just be an interesting thing to watch. Like, I love both of them and I think they'll be great as hosts. And it'll be a nice dynamic with them both being bachelorettes from past seasons, being able to like talk to Katie and like hopefully help her through. Because with Chris, like, he's seen other people's emotions, he understands them, but he hasn't felt them himself. So I think it'll lend to like deeper conversations and more like help from the host. And we might see them more than we did Chris on the other seasons.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah. Are you bummed about not being in consideration for going back to Bachelor in Paradise? Or is that something that you're like satisfied with?
I mean, do you want to go back, Dean?
No, sorry for my language, but there's no way.
There's no way. I mean, you just think about, like, remember how you felt during that time.
Right.
No thanks.
It's like perpetual anxiety.
Exactly.
I don't know if anyone ever really wants to feel that.
Exactly. And like, I wish everyone all the best that's going. I think they're going to have a ton of fun. I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch because there's so many seasons that they're going to get to choose from. And I'm sure they're going to use that there to their advantage and really make it an interesting season. I wish them luck. I don't wish to trade places with any one of them. I'm pretty happy where I'm at, but I also will say, like, me being on those shows, I did learn a lot and that got me to where I am, but do I need to go back and relearn those lessons? I'm okay.
Right.
I'm good. Yeah.
So what advice would you have for a contestant that might be going down to Paradise for the first time?
Yes. Here's my advice. I would say break the rules and actually talk to people beforehand and actually slide into people's DMs and get to know them. I think, like, knowing that other people did that, I was like, I am behind and I don't like to feel like I'm playing catch up. I think use your whatever you can to your advantage because it's going to be a tough season because there's so many people and so many options and it's going to be a mess. So if you can, like, lock into someone quickly, do that. Like, if you can be a Dylan with Hannah and just, like, know from the jump, that's the way to do it. Cause then you're just solid. I mean, they mess with him with Blake a little bit, but, like, they got there. Right. So yeah. Try not to get into a love triangle. I'm sure, Dean, you can tell everyone about that, but
avoid the triangles and the squares, the all the shapes other than
all
the line.
The
just take the one line.
Just grab someone's hand and run into the sunset. Yeah.
I like that you say break the rules. That seems so un-Sydney-like.
I know, but I wish I had because I was so behind because I didn't break the rules. I know.
I will say I think breaking the rules can serve you for a different reason, though. I think breaking the rules is important because it kind of, like, gives you a sense of this person and what they're going to be like in the real world. You know,
that's
like
true.
When you're on that beach, like, nothing is the same as it's going to be once you go home. And so by, like, reaching out maybe a little beforehand, seeing how they respond, like, you know, sometimes, like, responding timely is kind of important. Mm-hmm. So it's like seeing how they react on their phone and their punctuation, their grammar could be important to you too. So
that's
always
a good
aspect.
If you're a bad texter, it's just going to be over as soon as you get out. And you won't necessarily know that unless you've talked before. That's a very good point.
Exactly. Yeah. And I always talk about there's, like, a severe misrepresentation of people's selves on the show too. Like,
yes.
We always put our best foot forward when we go on the show. Like, look at me. These are my accomplishments. Like, this is how cool I am, how hot I am, how smart I am, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like, 99% of the time, it's not true because we're just, like, trying to put our best selves out there. So by getting ahead of it, you might be saving yourself a little bit of heartache by not having to deal with any of that. So I agree.
That's true.
Get ahead.
And you'll already have the confidence, like, oh, that person was interested in me. They responded to me or they reached out to me. Like, you already have that in the back of your mind. So you can go onto the beach with a little bit more confidence, where I was just like a deer in headlights. I felt like going onto the beach.
Do you think there's any people from Bachelor in Paradise season 6, our season, that are going to be returning to the beach for season 7?
I mean, Blake keeps hanging out with people. Like, he was just with all of the new crew last week. And I'm like, Blake, please don't do that to yourself. But I feel like he might be going back. I feel like
I think he's going back.
Yeah. Like, and I hope that's not, like, him trying to redeem himself, because I don't think that's ever possible. I don't know. But
I can see him going back. I could see a lot of them kind of wanting to go back, maybe, like, because I think, like, Christina's still single. Mike might still be single.
Mike, yeah. He hated Paradise, so it'll be interesting to see if he does go back, but he might, you know, because, I mean, you have a year off the show or 2 years and you're like, it doesn't seem so bad. But then you get back there and you're like, what did I do?
So I mean, case in point, I took 2 years off and I was like, I'm never going back again. And then 2 years later, I was like, yeah, screw it. Why not? So I don't know.
It
I could
work
see a couple.
Out, so.
It did work out. I got very, very lucky.
Yeah.
It did work out. But I could see, I could see a couple of those people going back. I hope they do.
Sure.
You know, it's always nice to see a familiar face on TV. Kind of, like, keeps you interested. So I hope for our sake, for entertainment value, that they go back. But we'll see.
So we can watch with popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
all right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna get into our guest, Shaquille Uri. I hope I'm saying his name correctly, but he is from Temptation Island. They're on season 3 too, so they've been killing it. I remember. Well, we'll get to this later. But yes, stick around through the break. We'll have Shaquille on here pretty soon. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Help, I Suck at Dating. And as promised, we have Shaquille Uri joining us all the way from Denver, Colorado, the best state in the world. Shaquille, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
We're good. Thanks for joining us. So this is Sydney. She is guest co-hosting with us today. And we obviously are big fans of Temptation Island. Before we get into it, though, I have a question for you. Do you know any previous season's cast members?
I do not, honestly. Full disclosure, I did not watch any previous seasons before going into the house, so I'm still trying to catch up on what happened before.
Okay, gotcha. Because I know a couple of them, I guess. So I just, it's always funny to see if there's any like mutual friends or anything like that. But Shaquille, tell us a little bit more about how you got on the show. So, Temptation Island, for those, is it still filmed in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was in Maui. Yeah.
So tell us how you got there, because I'm curious.
So yeah, it was actually funny. I just had moved out to Denver, and my phone rang from like Burbank, California. And the sweetest girl started talking to me, and she was like, you know, have you ever heard of Temptation Island? And I immediately hung up on her first.
Oh, no.
Because I'm like, no, you know, one of these dating like shows, I don't really know, like, no, probably not. And then she kept calling me, she was persistent. So I heard her out after I got out of the gym, and I thought the idea of it sounded pretty fun. So like 2 months later, I was in Maui.
Hmm.
So you moved to Denver. Where'd you live before Denver?
So I lived in Maine, Southern Maine. Yeah, New England. I'm a New England boy.
Nice, nice. I wish Jared was here because he also is a New Englander.
I saw. He loves his Tom Brady. So yeah. I kind of figured.
Oh, dude, to a fault. I'm sure you're a big Brady fan too. But it's funny how that works too, because a lot of times. So how I got on The Bachelor, very similar story. It was like at first I was like, why would I ever do that? And then eventually I was like, you know what? Why not? Why not just go for it? So. How was your time on Temptation? Do you regret it at all, or are you happy with it?
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster, I think. But I definitely don't regret anything. I was really happy that I kind of went for it. But it was definitely a once in a lifetime experience, I think, for sure.
From going on, do you wish you had watched it beforehand so you had a better idea of how it was going to go, or did you like that you just kind of didn't know what was going to happen once you got there?
I was pretty glad I didn't watch any of it, to be honest. I thought if I did, I was going to psych myself out a little bit. And I just wanted to go in 100% myself and just kind of see what happened. And then, like, it left a lot of, like, surprises around the corner, like eliminations and things like that. I had no clue that was even a thing. So it was exciting not watching it, for sure.
And then how has it been watching it back, like, seeing yourself on TV? Is it weird?
There hasn't been a single episode that felt normal, I guess. Like 10 minutes leading up to it starting, there's always like this spike of like anxiousness, and then you just kind of start rolling with it and you're like, all right, let's see what they made me look like this week.
Well, and so when you got there too, you had a connection with Erin, right? And so how did that all kind of, because Erin came to the island with her boyfriend,
yes,
but you guys kind of hit it off, so tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, her coming there, like, it was for her to kind of explore if she had, you know, can make a better connection with somebody else, or if she was more compatible with somebody else. So yeah, I mean, basically the day we first met, we just sort of kind of clicked a little bit. We had a lot of the same humor, a lot of the same interests. And she has a very, very strong personality, as you can see from watching the show, and I do as well. So we just kind of hit it off from day one, and things sort of just kind of went there.
Yeah. Was Erin the only one that you were interested in the house, or did you have other people that you could have been interested in?
She was the only one I was interested in, I would say. There were definitely moments of frustration where I was like, you know, man, maybe I should, you know, maybe talk to somebody else or get to know somebody else a little bit. But like, even as soon as that moment came in my head, it was out just as fast. And I was like, nah, you know, she's it for me on the island. So.
Can you talk to me about the dynamic of dating someone that's already in a relationship? Was that, did that lend to like having them be a little bit more attractive to you, or like what was that like knowing that they were already in a somewhat committed relationship?
Yeah. So full disclosure, my last couple of relationships were very similar situations where they were, they were seeing somebody and I was kind of, you know, sparked an interest in them. And I kind of just played the long game and kind of waited for my moment there. So I was kind of coming into a familiar situation. But for me, I never really thought about the boyfriend aspect. I never really, like, we didn't talk about it a lot when we had a conversation. So it was kind of in the back of my mind. I didn't really think about it too much. I was just trying to get to know her as a single individual person. And then, you know, if I was good enough for her to leave the island with, then great. And if not, you know, I did what I could.
Well, that situation too has to be so interesting because, yes, she has a boyfriend, but the fact that she's even there kind of lends to the fact that she probably is interested in seeing other people, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them, none of them wanted to admit that, honestly. None of the girls wanted to be like, you know, I'm here to explore other options when it's written in the description. That's exactly what you're there for. But
exactly.
They all wanted to play it off kind of like they were there to solely work on their relationships. And it was like, I'm not sure you quite understand what we're doing.
Yeah. And then you start getting like a little frustrated probably too. You're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
exactly. Like Mark says in the intro, you know, you are no longer, you know, you're single from this point out. But I don't think a lot of people quite understood that.
Yeah. Sid, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been attracted or like pined after someone that was in a relationship?
Not intentionally. Like if they were flirting with me and whatever, and then I found out later that they had a girlfriend, that's when I would back off. But at first, if I hadn't known, yeah. It's kind of happened, but not like I went after it. Have you, Dean?
It's never like gone, progressed yeah. very far.
Yeah.
I don't think so. There was this girl that I really liked for a long time that had a boyfriend, but as you know, people do, they just kind of fizzled. I think we were both trying to be super respectful and all that kind of stuff. The long game has never been my strong suit, much to Shaquille's credit, so props to you for that one.
But
it's weird, it's funny how like seeing someone in a relationship it like kind of like it's like the forbidden fruit, you know, like kind of like gives you this weird little attraction towards them. I feel like
I agree.
So then you got voted off the island though, right, Shaquille?
I did. She booted me.
She booted you. And how does that work? So it's like a voting system. So the girls all kind of got together and voted that Air needed to focus more on herself than have you there as a quote unquote distraction.
Right.
Does that sting a little bit? Are you kind of like, well, come on.
Yeah, it was tough. Like leading up to it, I kind of had an inkling like, you know what, we're getting really close. She might boot me out of here. Because I saw her play it safe in some of her date selections. So I was like, okay, if that's kind of a trending habit for her, she's definitely going to get rid of me if she wants to play it safe. So I kind of saw it coming a little bit, but it definitely was very hard not to be like, this is what I'm here for. You know what I mean? Like you're kicking me off, but I'm doing my job. And it was tough. That I felt like if she kind of gave into the process a little bit more, then, you know, it could have grew a lot more than it did. But you know,
how about Corey? Because Corey was Aaron's boyfriend that she went there with. So how was your relationship with him? Was that like weird or awkward at all?
I mean, I saw him at the reunion when we filmed the reunion actually. Okay. So I saw him and I had to sit next to him and you know, hash that all out. Yeah, that was super fun. And I mean, we're very different personality types. So like, he just is really quiet and not very opinionated. So I was just, you know, I don't get much from him when I'm around him, to be honest.
I wonder if that's because maybe he like has a vendetta against you or something, or if he just maybe is generally like that.
Yeah, I mean, watching the show back, I think it's just how he is on top of the vendetta part. So yeah, it's probably a mixture of both in that aspect.
How was it for you watching then Aaron after you left, and now being off the show, do you still have feelings for her, or do you have anything that you wish you could tell her, or maybe that you told her on the finale or the reunion?
I mean, watching it back now that I'm not there, I mean, it's, you know, nothing's like kind of surprising to me. I think she's very, very focused on leaving with Corey. So I think that's what her main, like, you know, she's kind of like isolated herself, you know, she's just kind of having fun now. I think, and I think that's what she wanted. I got to get me out of there was taking away the distraction and the emotional aspect of it. Cause it looks like she's just there to have fun now. As far as the second part of that question, we've had like some conversations. She kind of knows where I stand, and you know, that I thought even off the island, if we were never put in that situation and I ran into her outside of the whole process, it's definitely, she would have been somebody I was very interested in the same way. But I think she just has some things to figure out before we can kind of explore that anymore.
Well, tell us about these conversations a little bit. What are you guys talking about?
Honestly, just like a lot of it is kind of being put in that situation. You never know what's real and what's kind of fake.
For sure.
But we've had a lot of conversations about kind of expressing to each other genuinely, like, you know, what we built or connected there was genuine. That it was something that wasn't just going to stop because the cameras were off. And just kind of like where she's at mentally and emotionally, after filming and after the reunion and everything. And then a lot of just friendly conversations, like the same way we banter on the island is the same way we talk in real life now. So,
I'm interested if, say, a different world where you, maybe you and Aaron were dating outside of this, would you then bring her to Temptation Island? Would you want to go through that process with her, or would you kind of stay out of that whole situation?
I would 100% avoid that at all costs. Like, there's no, there is no way I would bring her or anybody else on that show in that kind of environment. That's tough. I'm not crazy, so there's no way.
Valid.
I was gonna say, isn't it so frustrating that like sometimes the ones you get along with the best, like Aaron in this case, is like the one that you're not allowed to like date or be with, right? And it makes it so much worse too, because you're like, we have so much like synergy and like we connect so well and we have so much fun together, but we can't be together. Like, that's such it's such bullshit, right?
It's definitely tough. And it's funny, I never when I went there, I did not expect, it's like you got four girls and 12 guys, like what are the odds you're really gonna like find somebody like that? And like first day I was like, this is gonna be a ride, because I could already tell we were gonna hit it off.
So let's say Aaron wasn't there, then was there anyone else that you might have found like interest in?
I think Kristen is a gorgeous girl. The only issue with that situation is she's very, very invested in her current relationship. So I know that would have been a losing battle for sure. And then Chelsea and I got really, really close, actually. She's a little bit older than I am, so like I'm not sure she would kind of come down to my age group, but we did get really, really close. So there could have been potential there if Aaron was there.
Yeah, I get it. So beyond that, though, like obviously hindsight's 2020. What would you change if you could go back and do it over again, you think? Like any regrets, anything where like maybe it's something with Aaron where maybe like he could have said something to like change your mind or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been asked that question so many times. Honestly, I don't think I would have done anything different. Like, I feel like I did exactly, I approached it the way I wanted to going into it. You know, a lot of people might have thought I was very like, you know, straightforward or came on very strong, but you got a couple of weeks to try to get this girl to question her relationship and see that you're the better option. So coming on strong is kind of your only way to go.
Oh, for sure.
And I think it worked out. I mean, I don't know, you know, I replayed the last couple of days in my head and I'm like, I don't know what I could have done differently to get her to keep me around. But I think I kind of dug my grave when we started getting close since day one. So.
What's it kind of been like dating now after the show? Like now you're back in Denver. The show is like, you've obviously like been on TV. Like, has anything changed? Are girls like recognizing you or anything like that?
I've had a handful of people like downtown, things like that, recognize me, which is super weird. Like coming from Vermont, like the smallest state, you know, middle of nowhere, it's definitely weird, a weird experience to have. Dating wise, I mean, I've been keeping relatively to myself, to be honest. I think the show honestly taught me a lot on how to legitimately date, though, in a weird way, because you don't have those outside distractions. You don't have four girls trying to take you on a date at one time. Like, you're so focused on this one person, and you're actually forced to have to get to know them because they are in a relationship. So you're not gonna go on a date and then immediately end up in bed with them or anything like that. It definitely taught me a lot now being in the outside world to take my time and actually get to genuinely connect with somebody rather than kind of just like chasing girls all over the place. So yeah, you know, a couple of dates here and there, but it just wasn't what I was kind of looking for. And the show kind of taught me that in a weird way. It's
crazy. Yeah.
Would you ever go back on the show and try again with a different situation? Or are you going back into the real world and trying to find it there?
That's a great question, because I would love to just find it in the real world. That'd be great, ideal scenario. But I do like, I just like the position the show puts you in, because you don't have to deal with the daily struggles of dating in the real world. You're there and you're actually in the moment. Like, you can appreciate every step of the way. So I love like the position it puts you in, but I just kind of like my freedom and my privacy a little bit.
Totally.
Feel that. So Shaquille, something we've been asking a lot of people that come on the podcast is, what is your worst first date story? And it doesn't have to be on TV or anything like that, just like real world first date story that maybe didn't go quite as planned.
Oh man. I haven't had any disasters yet. So I would honestly have to say I went out to eat with this girl. Like, we went to dinner. It was nice. And she wanted to go to a party. This was, like, back in college. And we were at the party together. And she got blacked out, passed out at the party. And, of course, we're all, you know, maybe or maybe not of age to be drinking. So, sure. Of course, this girl's getting sick and passed out. So everybody leaves. This is the first time I've met this girl. So everybody bails, leaves the party. And it kind of leaves me there with her. And, you know, being raised as a stand-up human being, I was like, you know, I'm not going to bail on this girl. So I ended up carrying her like 2 miles down a dirt road.
Oh my God.
Until we eventually found a car coming along the way. And I took her to the hospital.
Wow.
But yeah, that was our first date. So that was probably the worst.
Was there a second date after that?
Yeah.
She kind of thanked me for taking care of her. There was definitely not a second date. it just kind of seemed like, how do you kind of go from there a little bit?
Right.
So I was like, you know, I wish her the best. And we were friends for years after that, but there was definitely not a second date.
No coming back from that one, that's for sure. So, so now that Temptation Island, at least for you, is over, I know we kind of talked about it a little bit, but what's next? Are you going to, because you're personal training in Denver right now, right?
Yes.
So what's the next move for you think? Just the life move.
Life move? I mean, honestly, for me, I would love to do another project like this, do another TV show. I think it would be a lot of fun. Maybe different circumstances, but I think it would be fun. Mm-hmm. Something a little more competitive. But yeah, I mean, as far as just training here, I really want to like kind of build upon my own business with that. And then at some point open my own location would be like a dream of mine to do. But yeah, that's probably kind of the next step for me.
Should we get him on The Bachelorette?
Love it. Yeah, we should. Heck yeah.
Some people message me about that.
Maybe.
Wait, you said they messaged you about it?
Yeah. Oh, I've had just so many people just being, especially after I got eliminated.
Oh, to get you on it.
You need to do this. You need to do this. And I'm like, man, that's a
Have you seen that? Have you seen who they announced as the next Bachelorette? Because there's two of them this time.
Yeah.
Is there? I sort of saw. I think I sort of briefly saw it. But you'll have to refresh me. Because I sort of saw something that there was two of them, but I wasn't quite sure.
Well, I guess let's put the energy out there. If someone came to you and said, hey, Shaquille, we want you on the next season of The Bachelorette, sounds like you'd be open to the opportunity.
Mm.
Oh, man. I would pretend like I needed to think about it for a second.
Play hard again.
Right. I'd play a little hard again, but yeah, I think it'd be an incredible experience.
Dude, heck yeah. I think that would be great. I think you'd crush it on The Bachelorette. I think let's put it out there then. If there's a Bachelor producer listening to this podcast right now, Shaquille Urie, hit him up. He's going to crush it for you.
For sure. He's competitive, which is what we like.
Yes,
No, I hate losing is just not my vocabulary.
Love it. Well, that's willing into existence. Well, Shaquille, thank you so much for joining us. You're the man. We hope to see you on our TV screens very, very soon. For the listeners out there that want to see more of you, where can they find you?
Yeah.
Like Instagram, Twitter, anything like that?
Yeah, so my Instagram is it's Shaq Urie. So ITS, my name, Shaq Urie. And that is the same handle on Twitter as well.
Perfect.
Sweet. You're the man. I can't wait to see you on the next season Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, hopefully it goes a little bit better that time.
Well, it sounds like you had a good experience. Whether you came out of it with a girlfriend or not, you know, it sounds like you learned a little bit about yourself, which I think is all we can really ask of ourselves. But for Temptation Island fans, we still have a couple more episodes and then the reunion. So we'll see you on the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And Temptation Island is Mondays, right? Is when it airs?
Tuesdays. Tuesdays, yes.
Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Tuesdays. Sweet. Well, we'll see you on our TV screens in a couple weeks on the reunion show. And then we'll look to seeing you again, hopefully later in the year.
Hope so.
All right. Well, hey, you're the man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, welcome back to Help, I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Shaquille for joining us. But, Sydney, we have a very special What a Girl Wants coming up with you here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But beyond that, too, I want to talk about your podcast. I want you to tell Suck Army more about your podcast because we share the love here, right?
We do.
Listen, I expect you to reciprocate here. So on your podcast, you have to be plugging Help I Suck at Dating too. But
for sure.
Tell us more about yours. Tell us more about what's going on over there.
Yeah, Dean, I'm going to bring you on and really grill you. Hey, yeah, so
I would gladly come on. I don't know if I meet the standard, but...
I have a podcast called Something to Share. This is my third iteration of a podcast. So we made it to where it's at now. And I'm actually super excited to the place it's become. Mostly I wanted to start one because I've always enjoyed podcasts, whether it's been me like helping hosts like this one or me listening to them on my own. It was always like the thing that got me through tough times or the thing I needed to hear or something that I needed to like push myself forward or learn something. So I always turn to podcasts. And so for me making one, I wanted to do that for other people and share behind the scenes of like really fun people like from reality TV or CEOs, entrepreneurs, people that are just like successful and kind of sharing how they got there in order for other people to see like, oh, she got there like that. I could do it too. Just kind of sharing more. So that's my podcast. I have episodes every Wednesday. We've had fun people from Bachelor on, a lot of cool guests.
You've never had me on.
We haven't. We're going to do that. I've had a lot of people on, but Dean, I think that would be a special episode. So let's make that happen.
Well, I mean, I don't want to like force myself onto your podcast.
A crossover episode? We must.
And then what about the What a Girl Wants one that you're hosting as well?
Yes. So I'm very curious as for all the people that are still dating in the world and are going to this post-pandemic dating space, what that's going to be like. Because for me, the pandemic was actually really great for me to get out there in the dating world and to meet my person and to learn about him very differently. Like virtually, we got to start dating and then we eventually became really great in person versus where we're going now. I feel like people might have forgotten how to socialize a little bit and just kind of going through that new dynamic of post-pandemic and like what it's going to be like. So I'm talking to an expert on dating and like going to see what the trends are going to be and give advice as far as like how we can proceed into this next dating space. So what we need is all of your questions on dating in the future and anything that you got. So send them in.
What's your take on the vaccine? Have you gotten it yet?
I actually got it yesterday. My arm was on fire. But
which one did you get?
I got the Pfizer vaccine.
Nice. Yep. You got the first dose then, yeah?
Yeah. So I don't get the second dose for a while. Yeah.
And it still hurts, the first one? Because I heard the first one is like manageable and then the second one is really the one
that
knocks
you out.
It's
just like a flu shot arm situation where it's like hurts to lift your arm up.
It's like the needle is really what's causing pain.
Yeah. Other than that, I've been fine. I feel good today. I've just been drinking a lot of water. And yeah, no crazy side effects. I'm not looking forward to if I have them for the second one, but we'll see. Yeah. Caitlin, are you getting it, Dean?
Yeah, immediately following this podcast that we're going to go get the Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, nice. That's the one I wanted because a one and done is always where I want to be, but I didn't have
option. I'm a little concerned. I have a pretty important golf tournament tomorrow.
You'll be fine.
I've heard the Johnson & Johnson one kind of knocks you out pretty hard because it's everything into one, right?
Yeah, just like embracing it all. I would say just drink a lot of water. A lot of water.
Make sure to hydrate,
they say.
That seems incredible.
One and
doubt,
hydrate. Always important.
Yeah, so I think obviously getting a vaccine is a pretty key component to rejoining the dating pool for the single
people.
That
would be
out
like
there.
The fun dating question, like which vaccine did you get? That's the question starter at the beginning of the dating app. I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting dynamic.
Those are the memes I keep seeing. It's like a tiered system. Like, oh, you got Moderna. I don't want to talk to you, kind of thing. That's why I like us getting Johnson & Johnson. I'm like, Johnson & Johnson. That's kind of like the third tier vaccine that we're going to get. But
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, Sydney, so something we're asking, I guess, our guests, our co-hosts is what is your worst first date story? So do you have any really bad first date stories?
I luckily haven't had like horrible first dates, but just dating in New York was never like solid. I think
I can only imagine how bad it has to be out there.
Yeah, it's bad. Like it's bad where you like lower your standards so much because you've just been experienced such bad dates or just like not good options or just there's so many women and just so few men that you just kind of lower your standards naturally. Luckily I've gotten out of that headspace, but yeah, it's hard. And I don't want to like be negative about it, but I've had some not great times. I've been ghosted a lot. There was a guy that showed up and showed up late and I couldn't see his face in the bar. It was so dark. It was like this cool speakeasy and he had the voice like Kermit the Frog. And oh, I just didn't expect that from text because he was like really cool on text, like seemed like he had it together, but not cool at all in person. Just there was a disconnect. And it's just disappointing, you know, you don't want to start from a disappointment right from the jump, but it happened a lot, or like they're shorter than you thought. Or
are you saying in New York that there is a lot more women dating than there are men dating?
I think like, yeah, as far as percentage goes, there's just more women to men. So then for men, there's more options. And I think with New York, everyone is so driven, which is great, but then it lends to like, people not really want to get into relationships because they're like, I got to go to work. I don't really care about your feelings. So that was my experience. I'm not saying everyone was like that. I'm sure there's some gems. There's definitely are because I've met them, but just didn't find them for me there.
And I think that mismatched ratio, holy cow, if I could speak, probably lends itself to some pretty significant F-boyery out there.
Yeah.
You know,
like the submarining was really like a big thing for them out there. Like they would come back when they wanted the submarining where you would like go under surface and you just, they forget about them for a while, but then they would just like submerge all of a sudden back into your life, stick around for a couple weeks to a month and then submerge again. So yeah, it wasn't great, but we made it through.
That's like
I learned a lot.
That was like a Jared Haben dating term he used to drop on us.
Oh, yeah? One of the ones he looked up. Yeah, what was your worst first date, Dean?
My worst first date? I mean, I've had plenty of bad first dates. The one that comes to mind first is I went on a Bumble date like 4 or 5 years ago. And I don't want to oust Bumble. It could have been a Hinge date. It could have been a Tinder date. But yeah. I think I was only on Bumble at the time. So I'm assuming it was a Bumble date. But I went on a date with this girl and she was really pretty, but she kept asking me questions that she already knew the answer to that we had like discussed, like, you know, in text or whatever before the date. Or she kept asking me questions or like saying things about me that didn't pertain to me. And so in the back of my head, I'm like, this girl is talking to like 30 other guys because she's getting mixed up with 30 other guys.
I've heard that before.
And the whole
time
it was like, we were talking about everything that we've already talked about up to that point because she was like trying to remember who I was, I felt like. And so that was, I think, maybe one of the worst first dates I've ever been on, because the whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, this sucks. This conversation sucks. We've already done this, blah, blah, blah.
So boring.
I know that's not like there. I wish there was a better story. The other worst first date I think that I went on was actually is with this girl that I also met on Bumble around the same time. And
not a good day for Bumble.
sorry, Bumble. Bumble stock taking a real big plummet after this.
Yeah, for sure.
And the first date went great. You know, we went to a bar. We went out to like play pool or dance or something afterwards. Nothing came of it. And then like a week later, we had our second date, and we just like ordered Chinese food in. And I've talked about this on the podcast before too. We ordered Chinese food into the apartment and like watched crappy 80s movies all night long. But the Chinese food somehow gave me like a really like food poisoning, I guess. And so the second date, the very second time I ever hung out with this girl, I was like on my hands and knees vomiting in her toilet for like 6 hours.
Yikes.
And that's just, there's no recovering from
it. It'll make or break you.
Of course. Right. Well, she was cool with it and she was like, you know, helpful and like all that stuff. But
yeah,
I was like so embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't want her to continue to see me in that light. So it didn't really lead to anything.
She'll be forever associated with food poisoning for you. So that's too bad.
Yes. And as far as I understand it, she's been with her boyfriend for like 4 years. So ever since that, the next boy she dated became her.
You were good luck Chuck in that situation.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. For the longest time, I thought I was good luck Chuck. I was like, every girl that I like date or go on a couple dates with seems to find like their fiance afterwards. And it's funny. I was playing golf with my buddy yesterday who was saying the same thing. Like the last two girls he dated, one is now pregnant and the other one is like engaged to be married. And this is like within a matter of like 8 months. And so he's like, yeah, I feel like a good luck Chuck and I hate that.
Yeah. Gotta flip that. But you can be a good example that it doesn't have to always be like that. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And eventually you'll find your own person too. So hopefully if you have a couple bad first dates, met on Bumble or not, you stick through and just keep giving it a chance. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Sydney, I'm just going to keep saying your last name because now that I can say it properly, I like it. So Sydney Lutwako, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And it's Sydney Lutwako now, but soon enough, it's got to be, what's Nick's last name?
Weeby. So it'd be Sydney Weeby.
Weeby. Sydney Weeby. Oh, I love it so much.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's got a lot of whys.
Yeah, a lot of whys.
Very cheery.
Sydney, thank you for joining us. For the listeners out there, be sure to tune into What a Girl Wants and be sure to tune into Sydney's other podcast. Remind them the name of it again, Sydney.
Something to Share every Wednesday.
Something to Share. That's right. What else? Big thank you to Shaquille for joining us on the podcast. And please email us, you guys. Last time we talked about this, I begged for some emails. So isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Send us some great stories, and we will be sure to discuss them on the podcast. Be sure to tune in next week, where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Fingers crossed.
Follow Help! I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.